The slideshow going, that'd be great. Morning, Crossways. Yeah, it's lovely just to have an opportunity to chat with you again. I've got to say, what I'm sharing today has been on my heart for a while. God started speaking to me about this in the beginning of the year. So I'm excited to share with you today. And in 2 weeks' time, I'll be doing the next step in like a two-part series to this. But I'm speaking about freedom and delight. Does that sound good? Anyone? Anyone enjoy the idea of freedom? The idea of delight. So hopefully it'll be a light message today. And hopefully you'll really be encouraged as well. So I'm just going to see if this is going to work for us. Let's see. Matt, I think I'm going to need to ask you to skip to the slides for us today after you can go to the next one. All right. So a few weeks ago, I spoke to you guys about what real freedom looked like. Anyone here? Remember I spoke about freedom. Anyone here those few weeks back? Okay, and I argued that true freedom, and that's talking about freedom of our hearts and souls, is, as C.S. Lewis taught, it's found in living a life that is aligned with our deepest values. Okay, so the ability to make choices that align with our deepest desires. And I think that's very different to what the world teaches. And I think, you know, what I've found as well in my heart is that when I'm living in a way that my walking is aligned to the way I know God wants me to live, there's a real peace and freedom there. But when I'm walking another way, I'm doing my own thing. I mean, Ange was talking about a friend who was really, he'd done something that was really bad. He was outside of God's love. There, that freedom is not there. He felt so captured, I guess, that he felt like he had to actually take his life. I mean, he was really just so far away from experiencing that freedom that God offers us. So I think that's really important, is that God offers us this amazing freedom, but it's found really when we walk with him. Next one, Matt. Yeah, so what that means in practice is that actually we need to walk within the guardrails or the constraints that God sets out for us. And I love this picture just because it's a road winding through a beautiful countryside. But if you look closely at the picture, there are guardrails as well all along that road. Again, God calls us to live this narrow road. Guys, this narrow road, and it's set out, if we know what want to know what the guardrails look like, they're in God's word. He teaches us what that looks like. But what we learn from Scripture is that freedom is found within those guardrails. The world says, get outside, jump over the fence, explore what's on the other side, and then you're going to just have this amazing freedom. And that is not the case. Real freedom of heart and soul is found within the constraints of following Jesus. And I think it is just so different to the world, because the world says freedom is no constraints, right? As I said last time, do whatever the hell you like, and you'll end up going there, actually. But live within the constraints that are found in God's word, and that's where you'll really find freedom of heart and soul. All right, I'm now going to read from Romans 8, 1 and 2. It says this. If you want to go there quickly, Romans 8, 1 and 2. I'm going to read from the message, so it's going to be a little bit different probably to your Bibles, but I'll give you a moment just to get there. And it's talking about what Jesus has done for us. Okay, so it says, as I say, I'm reading from the Message version. With the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud. And that's a terrible idea. I mean, if that picture there shows what a low-lying black cloud might look like, I mean, it's not a happy place. I know some of you guys might love England, but I got to say, for me, those low black clouds after many days make me feel very down. In South Africa, we have these beautiful open skies for many days, especially this time of year. And I think we can live under a low-lying black cloud when we're not living according to Jesus. So going on, it says, a new power is in operation, the spirit of life in Christ. Like a strong wind has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. So it's almost like, you know, we might be, before we come to Christ, we're living under this low cloud. And then there's this cold front that comes through and blows it all away, and we land up with this beautiful open sky. And that's the life that Jesus calls us to, is to live in this freedom where we can relate with Father God. There's nothing blocking us, nothing getting in the way, nothing holding us back and holding us down. And it's just a lovely picture, I think. We can go to the next one, Matt. Okay, so I spoke last time about freedom, and that's a quick recap of that. But I want to go on to this idea of delight. And I really believe God is calling us, each of us, to freedom, but he's also actually calling us to delight. And I think maybe often we think about church, or maybe we see churches and we might see people that are not very delightful. But actually, that's what we call to be. You know, if we're experiencing freedom and delight, we'll start experiencing that, and we'll be people that have and express that delight to others as well. So I want to speak into that today. All right, but before I get into that, I've got some instructions to you, because I was worried some of you guys might go to sleep. Okay, so for adults, I've got something I need you to do. And they're going to be three words that are going to come up regularly in the sermon. For adults, your word is desire. Can I hear you say desire? Desire. Okay, awesome. So when you hear me say the word desire, I want you to repeat it back to me, desire. And I want you to put your hands, both hands on your heart. Okay, like that. There we go. Heather's got it. Okay, desire. Right? Desire is something that comes from our hearts. All right. And so God wants to do something in our hearts. He wants us to feel something special when we're in relationship with him. Okay. High schoolers. Okay, this is going to be a bit awkward, guys. Okay, your one is delight. Okay, we actually need Renee here with her ex, what is the that you did at varsity again? Your drummies actions. So when you hear delight, I need you guys to stand up. Say delight, you guys all together. Where's the other teens? There we go. We've got a girl at least to do it right. There we go, all right. So you're going to stand up and go, delight. Okay, guys, we need a practice, please. Stand up, delight. Okay, you're going to have to stay awake, all right. Okay, and if you're unsure, just look at the girls at the back. They'll know how to do it. Okay, then for the junior schoolers that are still here, there's still some of you here. I know you're going to be doing the awesome stuff that Pam's asked you to do. But just keep a listen for something, okay? Is it just the two of you guys that are here? No, there we go. There are a few more, okay. So your word to listen out for is practice. Okay, Pam was talking about following, right? And practice is, you've got to practice following. It doesn't just happen. You've got to do it. So if you hear practice, you've got to jump up and say practice. And if you're the first one up, there's a treat for you. Okay. Skittles, they're pretty good. Okay. Alrighty. Okay, so all right, so let's practice, all right. Yeah, there we go. Karen gets the first one. Okay, good. Alrighty, okay, let's go. So we're all gonna be open and attentive then, that's great. Okay, so before we dive into New Testament scripture, which is where I love to go, I want to start off with the Old Testament. And we really just read in scriptures about David being a man after God's own heart. Right? And I mean, I've got to say, when I think of anyone in the Old Testament and think someone I would like to be a bit like, it's David. He was a cool dude. He was strong. He was courageous. He also had a heart for God. We know he messed up too, but he really was this awesome guy. And he wrote the most amazing things. So can we turn together to Psalm 84, 1 to 12, and we're going to read that through together. And what I'm wanting us to do is to get a sense of his relationship with Father. All right, Psalms 84, 1 to 12. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body, and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallows build her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar. O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God, what joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their mind on pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. O Lord God of heaven's armies, hear my prayer. Listen, O God of Jacob. O God, look with favor upon your King, our shield. Show favor to the one you have anointed. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere elsewhere. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven's armies, what joy for those who trust in you. I mean, it just, he speaks with such passion, doesn't he? And he just speaks about this love of being home in God's presence. Like, for him, home is in the presence of God, in his dwelling place. And what that home means to David is a number of things. So I've just picked out some of the key words from those scriptures. And it's really this, like, this rainbow of amazing blessings. So one of them is joy. He speaks to the joy that God brings. Imagine, I mean, we should be people. He calls us to be people of that. That's what David found. He found real joy in God's presence. Then it was a place of refreshing. He talks about refreshing springs, especially in times of autumn when we're actually feeling like we don't have enough. We're going through difficult times. It's a place of protection, like a father putting his arm around us. I mean, that's what he offers. And it's a place of blessing. So for me, being with Father God, for David to be with Father God, was clearly a place of delight. Right? There we go, Nathan. Okay. Nathan, you're the man. What happened there, guys? Okay, guys, everyone else, come on, delight. There we go, well done. Okay, awesome. Nathan, well done. All right, I also want to read another scripture. You can go there a few pages later, Psalms 119, verse 33-35. And there we're going to learn, just hear something else about David speaking about his relationship with God. Okay. This is what he says. Teach me your decrees, O Lord. I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding and I will obey your instructions. I will put them into practice with all my heart. I will put them into practice with all my heart. Okay, well, I know you're doing all your homework for Pam, so I can understand why you took a while to respond. Well done. Chris, what's going on, eh? There's only one packet left. You're going to have to listen. Eh? There are two left. Okay, you might be lucky. Oh, you were the guy. You're grown up. Okay, all right, cool. So essentially, you're going to have to be very kind to your sister. There's like two packets left, and there's two girls in the room that can get this. Where's Trisha? Ah, okay. You're going to have to listen then, hey? Okay. Make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. I want to repeat that again. Make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. That's talking about those guardrails again, right? He's saying within those guardrails, that's where my happiness is found. So following God's instructions is learning to live within those guardrails of his instructions. And that is really where this happiness is found. But you know, as much as we know that David experiences this happiness, this joy, this refreshing, this protection, this blessing for most of his life, and God offers that to us, we know that at some point he jumped up over the guardrails, right? And he landed up in a real, very broken place. I think as you know, he decided to get involved with a woman that's not his wife. There's a child comes along, and then that child ends up dying. And he goes through all this remorse and the repent. But after it, there's this repentance and a coming back to God again. And I think in many ways, each of us do jump over the guardrails, right? There's this amazing walk that God calls us. Stay within this path and there'll be this blessing. But we often jump over the guardrails. And I think, Ange, what you said earlier is just such a lovely thing, is that no matter what we do over the guardrails, and what you said as well, you know, with all these people that are in prison as well, no matter what they've done, God would call them back. God loves us enough to call us back. And so that's our response if we want to live within this place of delight. Okay, yes, if we want to live within this place of delight, yes, well done, guys. Yeah. Okay, then we need to come back. The invitation is always come back, and you'll really find that freedom that you're looking for. All right, so let's skip across to the New Testament, Matt, which is the next one, and let's have a look again at what this rainbow really looks like. So I'm going to start off with the first scripture there, John 15, verse 9 to 11. There are quite a few here, so don't feel you've got to go through to each of them, but I'll read them to you. This is what the first says. I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. This is Jesus speaking. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. I love that, this idea of being intimately at home in God's love. That's what I've done, kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. So saying that's how Jesus lived. He actually lived intimately at home in Jesus' love. And that's, I'm sure, how he could give the ministry and how he could show love to others. He lived intimately at home in God's love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature. So he's talking about joy. Like, that should so be what we experience here on this earth as well. And I love that concept of making ourselves at home in the Father's love. Isn't that cool? So I know that some of you guys have all had different experience of fathers. Maybe your father wasn't the greatest. But I just want to share a little bit of a testimony with my dad and growing up, because I got to say, I had a dad who loved me. I always knew that he loved me. And so I was really blessed in that way. And one of my favorite things as a youngster, as I was going to school, often my parents would say, you know, when they woke up, we could jump in bed with them. And I remember still when I was, you know, probably 10, 12, I still have these memories of jumping into bed. My dad would put out his arm and he said, this is Ompi. He'd say, come to Ompi. And I used to lie there and I would snuggle up to my dad. And it was such a place of coming home. But like for me, that there was such a sense of security in that. And God calls us to essentially come to Ompi, like come home to me. And we find that as we come back to him. And that's just a special memory for me. But I think God calls us to come back and settle in that place where we can receive Dad's love. And that place is always open to us, which is just so amazing. But it does require us to step back. We're not going to find that if we're outside the guardrails. If we're doing our own thing, we have to step back into that place for us to receive that. I think you can imagine if I'd just been in a fight with my brothers and causing havoc, my dad wouldn't say, come on, boy. You know, I would have to sort a few things out before he welcomed me back. So that's also important to know. All right. The next one I want to read is from Philippians 4, verse 8 to 9. Okay. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. That's what our Father would ask us to do. Think about those things. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Kieran, well done. Patricia also jumped up there. Yeah, there we go. I think give Patricia the other one. Well done, Patricia. Okay, we're out of sweets now, but you can still keep listening. Okay, so he's saying, keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. So we've heard love. We've heard joy. Now he's saying peace. So all of these things are found within those guardrails of following Jesus. Then the last scripture from here is Romans 12, 1 to 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, what happens outside the guardrails, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So here Paul's exhorting us to live out our lives in a way that honors Father God. In doing so, God will not only help to transform us, but he will reveal his will and his purposes for our lives. That last verse said, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So it's also in walking along this road, we find out this purpose, this plan that God has for us as well. As opposed to over the guardrails, you'll find your own way, but it's not going to be God's way. And, you know, you're not going to find that delight if you're living outside. Nice guys, well done. Even Reuben's listening up, hey, nice Reuben. He's going to give me a hard time later, I can see. Okay, so I really believe that God just has beautiful purposes for us. And when we can see that love, joy, peace, God's will and direction in our life, we all need that. So I encourage you, come back to Father if you're not, or be drawn back to Father again. He's not this hard, difficult Father who's got it in for you. He really is a Father of love. He's a Father who loved that has got these amazing things in store for us as we follow him. Okay, so the question now is, how do we fully experience this rainbow of life that Jesus offers us? And it really is, it's in obedience. I've mentioned it before, it's living within the constraints. And in a sense, I guess you could say it's the Father house rules. But those of you that are dads, I'm sure you've had a few rules at home, right? Okay, and when your kids are within those rules and they're living within those boundaries, the relationship is awesome. That's good. But as kids start to rebel or they do their own thing, suddenly it's not so cool in the house anymore. There's unsettlements. Dad's not so happy with you. Have you guys experienced that once or twice, eh? When you step outside, it's not so good. And God's saying it's the same. Like, use your experience of your father to understand your experience and how you relate with God. You might have had a father that wasn't so great, but this is talking about a perfect father that loves you. And your dad's rules, he might say, you can't do Xbox on Sundays or whatever. You might think that's a bit of a silly rule, but God's rules are not silly. God's rules and purposes are designed for our best. There is very best intent for us. And as we draw into that, we're going to really find this amazing embrace from Father God. And that's what he's calling us to. He's calling us to this intimate relationship with him where we can really experience this love. So if we remain like a child, fully trusting our Father, following His lead, we'll remain in the Father's love, under His care, and experiencing our Father's blessing and protection and delight in His love. I'm sure the adults were supposed to do something here, eh? Have I not mentioned desire like once? Well done. Okay. But I think, you know, what's amazing is if we read again about the prodigal son. I mean, you guys all know that story so, so well. But it's just such a picture of, you know, a young man that thinks, you know, he's actually now going to go over the fence. He's going to find this amazing world. And so, young guys and girls, you know, at some point, you're going to be tempted to jump over the fence. And this guy thought, you know, I've had enough of Dad here. You know, it's been good, but there must be this amazing better life. Everyone says it's awesome out there. I can have these amazing experiences. It's going to be so much better than with Dad. So he goes and does this thing. He finds friends, but at the end of the day, he lands up bankrupt. He lands up longing for Dad's love. And I pray none of you guys land up in that place. But the reality is we're all tempted over that fence at times. And so just to encourage you that, like with the prodigal son, God always calls us back. And again, it was just so beautiful that you shared that earlier. You know, really, that is God's call. It's always come back. And His heart is always loving. He's always for us. We've got a God who's never going to say, no, no, you've done too much, son. You're not welcome back. You're always welcome back. That's such a lovely thing. Our Father God loves us, and He wants to delight in us. I'm keeping these young oaks awake. I know they're used to falling asleep in school, eh? Okay. All right, I want to just read John 10, verse 7 to 10 quickly. I'll tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose, the one who is tempting us outside of those guardrails, his purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. I mean, so guys, again, isn't that amazing? That's what he's offering us, is this rich and satisfying life. So Jesus opens the gate to a new life of purpose and satisfaction, but this life can only be fully experienced in all its radiance, love, joy, peace, and happiness when we're walking in obedience to God's will. All right, so I'm gonna start wrapping up now. So guys, you're off the hook with your actions. You can pay attention without worrying to jump up. But, you know, how do we live this out? Because I think, you know, the idea is when we see a picture of our Father and we hear His heart for us, I'm sure all of us say we want that embrace. We want to live within that delight that we found with Father God. But what does it look like in practice? And I would say it all starts with surrender. Right? It's like a surrender is like, okay, there's the over the gate option, or there's the on the narrow way option. And that's something that I think hopefully you all have made that choice. I want to walk. I want to follow Jesus. But then each day it's a choice of surrendering and saying, you know what, Jesus, today I'm going to follow you. And that's really where it starts. So I guess a question for all of you today is, are you surrendered to Jesus today? Are you surrendered to Jesus today? And are you going to surrender to Jesus tomorrow? And if we're not, if there's something that you know in your life that's not surrendered to Him, if in some way you've taken a step outside those guardrails, Jesus doesn't condemn you. He says, come back. There's a loving Father who's calling you back over those guardrails to come with Him again and find the delight that there is with being close to Father God. So I just want to encourage you. You know, I think as Ange said as well, you know, like actually all of us have areas that we struggle with. We are all so human. And no matter it's something that you're struggling with regularly or it's something that you've done that you just can't forgive yourself, Father says, keep coming back. Keep coming back. Come to my embrace. You'll find forgiveness every day. And so I'd encourage you to do that this week. Really come back to Father and experience this love, this freedom and delight that he offers you. And a little while ago, I spoke about a teaching from John Mark Comer, which I just found was just so relevant and so easy to remember around what this following Jesus looks like. And for me, I just want to remind you of that again. It's simple. It's be with Jesus. Are you spending time with Jesus? Every day he calls us to be with him. So be with Jesus. And once you're with him, the next step is become like him. He wants us to be these apprentices that start becoming like who Jesus was, learning to walk how Jesus walked. And then it's about learning to do what Jesus did. So he doesn't want us to just stay within our own comfortable little bubble. And Matt, where's Matt? So Matt, like what Tony was saying, is like, you know, Jesus is going to do something in you. He's doing something in you, but he wants that to flow out in time, to have influence with those around you. And the same is for all of us, is that he wants us to start being his hands and feet. So again, if you're someone who knows Jesus, you might have even known Jesus for 20 or 30 years, and you might even think, ah, I'm beyond the hill now. Now someone else can start doing what Jesus would do. We're all called to do what Jesus did, to love people, to find, ask Jesus, what is your will for me? How can I love others? So I'd encourage you into that space today as well. All right, so that's all I wanted to share with you today, but hopefully you've got a sense of Father's love for you. He really does love us. And so let's come back to him and find delight in a God who loves us. All right, let me close from my side in prayer.